This lecture is going to have a look at how we treat sales of goods to overseas customers and how we treat purchases of goods from overseas suppliers. This can be quite a tricky subject, and this lecture aims to take the fear out of the topic and to make it as simple and as fun as possible. Now here we have a bit of a stylized map of the world with that wonderfully important country, the UK. And then the rest of the world is divided into two bits, Europe and everywhere else. Now by Europe, I effectively mean the EU. So all the countries that are in the European Union, which will include Ireland, even though I have moved Ireland somewhat on my map. So there is the EU, which I am calling Europe. And then there is the rest of the world, and that will be every other country. America, India, Australia, and all those little countries in continental Europe that are not members of the EU. So this is our map of the world. The UK, Europe, and the rest of the world. If I sell goods from the UK to a customer in the rest of the world, that sale is called an export. If I purchase goods from a supplier in the rest of the world, that is known as an import of goods. Now here I am in the UK, but this time I am going to sell goods to a customer in Europe. This is called a dispatch. If by the same token I purchase goods from the supplier in Europe, this is known as an acquisition. So the first thing you will need to get clear in your mind are these different terms. The sale of goods to the rest of the world and purchases of goods from suppliers in the rest of the world, those are the sort of things we call exports and imports, and they are treated in a completely different way to sales and purchases of goods to and from Europe. These are called something different, dispatches or acquisitions, and have a completely different VAT treatment. Okay, look at the map one more time, and then we will move on, starting off by looking at exports and imports. Now remember, exports are where we sell goods to a customer based in the rest of the world. The crucial thing to remember about an export is that it is a zero-rated supply, and that is irrelevant of what type of goods you are selling overseas. The crucial thing is that you are selling overseas. Exports of goods are always a zero-rated supply. Now this is really quite a generous relief on behalf of customs, and it is to encourage exports from the UK, but you have got to be able to prove that the item will be actually exported. There are great demands placed on a trader to obtain necessary evidence that the goods he sold have been exported, and have been exported within 3 months of the time of the supply. The sort of evidence that customs will accept are things like a bill of lading, an airway bill, or other commercial evidence. The evidence must identify the goods and their manner of transport, and, if a freight forwarder service was used, then the freight forwarder. These are businesses that consolidate lots of smaller shipments into one great big shipment. They will normally hold the bills of lading, and a certificate of shipment can be obtained from a freight forwarder to be your own evidence. For exports by post, it is possible to get a certificate of posting or other evidence of shipment, and there are similar arrangements for exports via courier or fast parcel services, etc. The biggest worry customs have about exports is that they want to ensure the goods were actually exported, and, hence, it is essential that a trader keeps evidence of the export of those goods. Now, the problem with imports of goods is that lots of overseas countries have very similar rules to the UK, and so goods come into the UK having borne no equivalent of VAT. The problem with this, from a UK point of view, is that if I was a UK business and I needed some widgets, if I bought them in the UK, I would probably pay 17.5% VAT on top of the price. But if I went to America to buy them, they would be shipped to me VAT, or equivalent tax, free. So it could be cheaper for me to buy my goods in America than to buy them from my UK supplier just down the road. Probably the only difference is going to be a bit of transportation costs. Now we cannot have this situation, can we? So, with imports, customs add on the equivalent of the UK tax that would have been charged if the goods had been made in the UK. This VAT charge is made when the goods arrive at the port. So when my goods leave the supplier in the rest of the world, they come by air transport, or sea transport, or whatever, and they get to the port of entry in the UK, be it a seaport or an airport, and they are stopped at that port. They are held in that port. Customs then value the goods, or should I say, the importer values the goods for customs, and customs apply the appropriate rate of VAT onto those goods. The standard rate, or zero rated, or no VAT, if it is exempt, that would have been applied if the goods had been bought in the UK. That amount of VAT is charged to the person who wants to take the goods out of the port and bring them to their UK business premises. Now, this VAT must be paid by the person who wants to free the goods from the port. It can either be paid straight away, or, for regular importers, some sort of deferment account can be set up with customs to allow payment in a few months' time. But whatever happens, an amount of VAT will have to be paid on those goods if they are to move from the port to the business premises in the UK. This VAT paid to import the goods is treated like any other type of input VAT, and so will be deducted in the next VAT return in the normal way. Really, it is only paid to put you in the same position whether you buy goods in the UK or you buy goods overseas. There will be the appropriate input tax on both, and the location of the supplier should, in theory, be irrelevant. The purchaser will then deduct the input tax in the normal way, depending on the use that he makes of those goods. Just a few more things to mention about imports. I mentioned on the previous slide about a duty deferment scheme. Basically, imports VAT can be paid at a later date under the duty deferment scheme. There is usually a credit limit that applies to the scheme, which is, more often than not, 100% of the estimated maximum monthly debt for VAT, and bank guarantees are required to support this credit limit. Now, the import VAT on a month's import are then all paid on the 15th day of the following month, or the next working day if this is not a working day.
Proved importers are able to provide reduced, possibly even zero security in relation to the import VAT element when it comes to the duty deferment scheme.
So the duty deferment scheme gives some cash flow relief, but it is not a large cash flow relief. If there is no duty deferment guarantee in place, then customs will require payment before they release the goods from the port of entry, and payment can be made by cheque, cash, or banker's draft. Cash or banker's draft will mean the goods can be released immediately, but if payment is made by cheque, evidence that the cheque will clear needs to be made before the goods can be released by customs. Now, as an alternative to importing goods yourself, an import agent could be used to clear the goods. If you only do imports very rarely, it might be an idea to use an import agent because they are familiar with the paperwork and the rules that go with importing goods. The import agent can also use a deferment account to obtain the release of goods and recover the import VAT from the importer.
The one thing about an import agent is that they have got to make sure the actual importer, the business, is shown on the import entry, so that the entitlement to the input tax credit will be available to that business.
The other thing I want to mention is suspension of import VAT. Import VAT does not have to be paid on goods entering a port if they are declared for a customs procedure, which allows suspension of VAT. The various procedures which allow suspensions are for goods going to be stored in a bonded warehouse, or an entry into a free zone, or for temporary importation, or for transit or transshipment. Some goods are relieved from the necessity to pay import VAT. Examples of this are goods which have been exported and then re-imported in the same state without any sort of repair abroad. Goods imported for private purposes where the value includes VAT paid in an EU member state, legacies, duty-free allowances from journeys outside the EU. Hence, there are various miscellaneous reliefs available to remove the requirement to account for import VAT. The value of an import for VAT includes the basic cost of the goods, any other taxes such as customs duties and excise duties paid on the goods, and the incidental costs of transport, packing, commission, insurance, and so on, as far as the first destination of the goods in the UK.